with Mario Lopez.
What up, you're on with Mario Lopez. Joining me now in the studio, Grammy-winning icon, my man Richard Marx. How are you, Richard?
I'm great, man. It's so good to see you after all these years.
Great to see you. You look fantastic.
Thanks, buddy.
You're like look stuck in time right there. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. But big fan for a long time. Seen you perform a few times live and put on such a great show. I don't think a lot of people may not be aware that you've also written a lot for other artists.
Oh, yeah.
So, my gosh. And, well, I want to get into all that, but first, you're in the middle of a big Vegas residency. Were you in town for the fight, by the way?
I was there, yeah. In fact, I was just telling your writer friend that walked me up here. It was crazy because my show would have been over right around the main event time. So my wife and I were like, we got to see the fight. And one of my sons was in town in Vegas with a couple of his friends. So we were all going to just run to my suite at the hotel. And I bought it. And of course, you probably heard that like a bunch of people, it went down.
Yes,
right?
It was down.
So we ended up seeing the fight on somebody's Periscope feed on our phone.
Fantastic.
On my phone.
How was the quality?
It wasn't bad, actually. When desperate times calls for desperate measures, right?
Exactly.
So we just brought my phone up backstage in my dressing room and we watched it and just, you know, laughed our asses off.
Yeah, exactly. I had the same reaction. How are you enjoying Vegas and being a headliner out there?
Wow.
I'm surprised at the reluctancy because not that I tour, but I would imagine not having to be, I love being on the road, but to an extent, right? Not having to be on a tour bus and being able to have a place you essentially call home and people coming to you. That's
a plus.
Kinda cool.
No, the only reason I hesitated is that this, I'm going into my third week and it's tons of pros and cons.
Okay.
The pros are all really great, which is we are, like you said, I'm not getting on a plane every day to go to the next town.
Right.
Although I don't mind that. I love the travel. You know, yeah. I've really learned to really love that and appreciate that. But it is nice to just sort of bed down and not be rushed to get to the airport the next morning.
A lot of great places to eat.
Great places to eat. Not only great places to eat, but my wife and I are vegan. So that town has become, especially thanks to Steve Wynn, who he became a vegan like 10 years ago. Every restaurant at the Wynn or the Encore has a separate vegan menu.
Wow, I was not aware of that.
Yeah, and it's spreading now to the other restaurants. So now
that's great for our vegan listeners out there who may want to visit Vegas.
And so it's like, so much of it is just incredibly delicious. It's almost like, you know, comfort food, but done vegan style.
Yeah.
So we're eating fine.
So what are the cons?
The cons are that there's
128 degrees.
It's brutally hot, which is, you know, and so that sort of forces you inside because we're hikers, but it's a little bit too much. And I'm not an early riser. I'm still a rock and roll guy way. So when I wake up, it's the like peak heat. Going to Red Rock Canyon and hiking is probably not the smartest idea.
Not this time of year.
But there's also just like, I walk through like the first couple of days we walked through some of the casinos to get to a restaurant and I'm looking and I'm like, people smoke? Yeah. Really? Like, seriously?
Yeah, a lot in there.
Like, tons. And you can do it anywhere you want. And it's sort of, so it's a little bit of a time warp. It's just a little, and it's just, there's something about that town that, in that area on the strip, and it's a little depressing. There's something a little depressing about that.
That's America right there.
You know what I'm saying?
That's America.
But what we've also learned is that, you know, there's a whole other side to Las Vegas.
Yeah, there is. There really is.
Beautiful neighborhoods and great places to raise a family and real beauty, real physical beauty, you know, the mountains and it's a great place.
I have cousins that live there. They said they love it.
But the gigs have been, I got to say, amazing.
Well, that's the thing. The show is called Only the Hits.
Right.
Right there, you're already hooked in. Does that include some of the hits you've written for other artists
now? Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Like?
Like, I do the ones I think that were the biggest hits. So I do This I Promise You that I wrote for NSYNC and produced for them.
A
bit of Dance with My Father that I wrote with Luther Vandross.
Oh, wow. I didn't either. Look at that. I didn't even know you wrote. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Classic.
And some of the country, like Keith Urban and I have written three of his biggest hits together.
Wow.
So we wrote Better Life, Long Hot Summer.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like there's enough of them that, and because the show is solo acoustic, I can just do whatever I want, whenever I want. So I'll do, you know, I'll kind of change it up every night. That little, you know, that medley of songs I've written.
Yeah, that's funny. You can keep flexing those creative muscles. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And this fall, you're not done with the road because you're going to be hitting it with Rick Springfield, right?
Yeah, we started, we did this. We've been friends for, you know, 30 years. He was at my first bachelor party, actually, 30 something years ago.
That's a friend.
Yeah. And I've always been a fan. I was a fan of his long before I met him, you know, and we've just become pals over the years. And it's kind of stupid that we never thought to tour together. And he started doing a solo acoustic show a couple years ago at my insistence, actually, when I started doing mine. I said, you got to go out there with just you and the audience, man. It's just, I mean, I love band shows, but there's nothing like these shows where it's just me and the audience.
Yeah.
And we can kind of just do whatever we want. So Rick and I teamed up the end of last year, and it went really well. We just did a handful of shows, and so now we're kind of like a package tour indefinitely.
Yeah, you know? that's a great show. I'd like to check out. Very cool. We have to let us know when you're here in LA or in the area.
I'm sure we'll bring that show here to the LA area for sure.
And it's been a few years since your last album. You got any new music possibly you want to release?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I write songs constantly and I'm always recording. But you know what, Mario? It's interesting. I have this conversation a lot. For people like me who are not kids anymore, but have a long history in the business, the whole landscape of the music business is like Mars. It's like another planet.
Right.
So I don't know. I really don't know that making a new album in 2018 coming up makes any sense. Mm. So I think it's really, I'm starting to wrap my head around the idea that maybe because I am still prolific and I'm still writing, and I really think that I'm writing maybe better stuff than ever before. I think the answer is just, if I write a song, I just go in and record it and put it out. And it's a song by song. Yeah. It's not about, nobody sits around and listens to an album anymore.
No, you're right. That's changed all that.
Thanks to these iOS devices, we're all so ADD that we can't, even I'll go and get, like, I can't wait to sit down and listen. I'll say, I can't wait to listen to the new Foo Fighters album, right? And it's by song three, I'm checking my email, I'm looking at Instagram, because we're just conditioned to be distracted.
We have those options now. Yeah. Exactly. No, you're exactly, that's a very good point.
Yeah.
Your lovely wife, Daisy Fuentes, who I happen to know too. You guys have been married how long now?
It'll be 2 years in December.
That's great. How's your Spanish?
Oh, dude. that's the main priority of my life is to learn. See, I unfortunately took French in high school. So my wife and her family, I know, are talking about me right in front of me.
right.
I'm picking it up a little bit. She's helping me a little bit. She gave me like a cheat sheet and a practice, you know, like certain key phrases and stuff. But I'm still such a gringo.
Cool. That's a cool, when I heard that you guys were together, I was like, that's a cool hookup right there.
Yeah.
Now you've managed to not lose one strand of hair since the 80s.
Well, look who's talking, dude.
I mean, how did you manage to maintain this tight wig? And by the way, I only use wig as a reference to hair.
Oh,
in
I tell
general.
People all the time, like sometimes I'll go, like I'm working in Vegas with, on some of the show, we have a string quartet of these four beautiful classical players, these ladies. And they're young. And when we were in the wings, I was about to go out and I looked at the one girl, the cellist, and I said, is my toupee on straight? And she wasn't sure if I was kidding or not.
Right.
I was like, yeah, I'm just kidding. You know, it's genetics. It's like or it's just luck.
Exactly.
You know, I just, every day I'm like, I'll be 54 next month. And I just hey, it's all about the hair. Cause I couldn't pull off bald at all.
Yeah. I couldn't either. I mean, my head is like the size of a St. Bernard. So
yeah, me too. That's why we like each other.
I think that's why we get each other. You've got three grown sons, correct?
Yeah.
Are they, do they have any sort of musical ambitions or?
All of them.
Really?
Unfortunately. I was just like, I have three sons and not one freaking doctor. One app designer.
right.
They're brilliantly talented. So they're all in different kinds of music. My oldest son, Brandon, they all live here in LA. He's mostly been into EDM and electronic music and has done guest vocals on DJ tracks and stuff. My middle son, Luke, is Mr. straight ahead pop R&B. He's like the next Justin Timberlake. He's incredibly talented, really driven, focused, killer hooks. Like he's got it. I mean, in terms of the pop thing. So I think it's just a matter of time. He's 24. So he's really getting close, I think. And my youngest son, Jesse, is 23 and is a metalhead. But he looks like an accountant.
Yeah.
He's like no tats, no piercings. He just really loves, he's always loved metal and hard rock. And so he's just finished his first EP, which was mixed and produced by a huge rock producer, a guy that's done Disturbed and Breaking Benjamin. And
yeah.
And he's putting his band together now. So they, yeah, they're all...
That's cool, man.
You got two kids?
I've got two. They're little still. How did you get them all into piano?
Yeah.
When they were young? Yeah. How old did you get them into piano?
5.
So 5 years old. And they liked it, stayed with it?
No, they hated it.
They hated it.
But I made them stay with it.
Yeah, okay, good. I'm doing the right thing then. My daughter, who's been taking it too, she's 6 now. She's been taking it. Gosh, she started when she was 4. So she goes through waves. But right. I'm making her...
Oh, I hated it too.
Yeah.
But I mean...
But it pays off, doesn't it?
It pays off. Especially if that's what, you know, if you have an inkling that... She wants to be in the entertainment business or be in musical. Right. You know what?
She's working.
She already is.
She's already a working little actress.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. You know, one of the things I said to one of my sons who was like, so when he was like young, 7 or 8, and he was like, I hate this. I don't want to practice. The piano's boring. And I said, look, you can play whatever other instrument you want. And they did. They played guitar and they played drums. But I said, but you got to just stick with the piano too.
That's the foundation, right?
I remember one day, maybe this will help. I don't know. I said, you guys... Think about it like this. The piano is the only instrument in the world where it's like it's the whole orchestra in front of you. So down here, you've got the basses and you've got like even like kick drums, if you really think about it like that. And up here, you've got like really high guitars or violins and in the middle, you've got this. And all of a sudden, they kind of were like, oh, yeah, that's cool.
That is cool. That's a great analogy right there. Ooh, I'm going to steal that one. Yeah. I'm going to steal that one for later on. Thank you for that. All right, before we let you go, I'm going to put you on the spot. Quick questions, quick answers. All right. Current song obsession.
Attention by Charlie Puth.
Last show you binged watched?
Big Little Lies.
Mm. Celebrity crush growing up?
Farrah Fawcett.
Favorite Vegas game?
Getting on the road to leave.
Time travel destination?
1947 New York City.
Well, wait, was that the Sinatra era?
Yeah.
That was Sinatra era, right?
Big just band. Post World War II.
Yes.
Where everybody was like, it was like this relief and people were like flush again. And people dressed really cool and the music was cool and anything was possible. I'd say that.
That's a nice one. We haven't gotten that one before. Well, listen, you can get all the tour dates at onwithmario.com and you can follow him on Twitter @RichardMarks. Thanks for stopping by,
dude,
man.
Dude, always a pleasure.
On with Mario Lopez.